With no further ado, I'd like to read today's scripture lesson. It comes from actually from Psalms, and I'll be reading from actually chapter 82, verses 1 through 5, and I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. I've mentioned that a few times. It's written by the Priest for Equality. So hear now these words. God presides in the divine assembly and pronounces judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the corrupt? Defend the lowly and the orphaned. Render justice to the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the poor, and save them from the hand of violence. But you know nothing. You understand nothing. You walk in darkness, and the foundations of the earth are shaking because of your ignorance. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. We are we're going to have Bruce do a song for us. There's going to be a little slight rearranging so we can get him on camera and get the online mic closer to him. So give me just a second.
Well, I want to thank Reverend Mark and the church, Church of the Covenant, for providing us with grocery money over the last year. I've been making videos. My wife has been making videos and sending them. We transfer into the church, and they've been playing. And it's certainly been nice to stay somewhat in touch. But this is really wonderful. You know, I didn't know whether anybody would come out, but it's good to see you, masked or unmasked. I have a mask in my pocket, but I can't wear it while I'm singing.
Are we good to go, Mark?
You're good to go.
Okay, this one is a song called Dr. River. I was working down in Brunswick County, and at lunchtime every day, this guy that I was working with in my office, he would take off leave, and you know, I'd ask him where he was going, and he would say he's going to see Dr. River, and which meant that he was going fishing. And that term stuck with me, and I wrote this song, Dr. River. There's a river that runs like a railroad, hauls the freight that we fret far away. There's a river that heals all our sorrows. There's a river where children play. Dr. River, Dr. River, Dr. River's a forgiver, I say. Dr. River, Dr. River, rock me, Dr. River, away. In Dr. River, there's 100 salmon. They're salt down for breakfast each day. Smoke them, smell them, cooking on the campfire. Plenty for all who stay. Dr. River, Dr. River, Dr. River's a forgiver, I say. Dr. River, Dr. River, rock me, Dr. River, away. There'll be vegetables fresh from the garden, a little whiskey and a helping hand. No more running all over the country. We'll be living off the fat of the land. Dr. River, Dr. River, Dr. River's a forgiver, I say. Dr. River, Dr. River, rock me, Dr. River, away. But someday we'll reach Dr. River, settle on his shores in peace. All God's children lay down their fight, and Dr. River will deliver release. Dr. River, Dr. River, Dr. River's a forgiver, I say. Dr. River, Dr. River, rock me, Dr. River, away. Dr. River, Dr. River, Dr. River's a forgiver, I say. Dr. River, Dr. River, rock me, Dr. River, away.
Thank you for that. Thank you very much. Next, we're going to invite up Kamal Speaks, local spoken word artist. So give us a moment to readjust for him as well.
Grand Rising, how everybody doing? All right. This young man reached out to me. Like he said, we met on several different occasions. We just now recently ran into each other at Marcus Smith's press conference. And I did some poetry there. And he said, I would really love for you to come out because I'm going to give people a different view into the black community, what's going on. So he asked me to do one poem, but I said, I can't do the one without the other. So this first one is giving you a look at what we go through. The whole world goes through, but it's at a high volume in the black community. This is called Poverty. I speak the language of pain and anguish. I am poverty. I have a sign that says, can you spare a dime? You laugh at me, but you don't know this life of mine. I am poverty. I don't know if you know this, but they gave me 6 feet before COVID. I am poverty and society's starving me. I'm a military veteran, misguided adolescent. I'm hunger's true essence. I'm an ex-millionaire, a mother without a job who cares. I am poverty. I'm a child at night, afraid of the light, a father who's bothered when his children awaken to heaven, ain't it? I am poverty. And the funny thing, y'all don't understand the pain I bring. I mess up families, destroy neighborhoods. I'm a curse, the worst, the reverse. Steal from the poor, get to the rich. Robin Hood. I'm under investigation for homicide. The gentle whispers in suicide. I'm a flag on this earth. I'm a genocide. I'm that mama was wrong when she have a soft cry. I'm grand larceny, armed robbery. Oh yeah, it's a pleasure to meet y'all. I'm poverty. And that's that first piece.
And we just recently went to the surge where, you know, a lot of stuff, it's been in the light, but it's been brought to the light. You know, we just went through it with the pandemic, with the awakening of everybody, what's really going on. And, you know, it was a whole movement, Black Lives Matter, right? And at the end of the day, it was still a lot of people like, man, all lives matter, blue lives matter, you know. At the end of the day, that brought me to this poem right here. It's called Black Lives Don't Matter. Who represents me? Is it a reality? Is it justice for all or justice for me? Am I wrong because I don't trust my lawyer who has lunch with the district attorney? The same system that's trying to burn me? My situation, they laugh and joke. And the pins I beat on my chest, brag and boast. It's funny how that slave ship stay afloat. I'm not talking about whips and chains, it's more of a mental thing. White supremacy screaming, we ain't to blame, that's not killing yourself. But your own social media and everything else, including our wealth, controlled us with subliminal messages, made us dumb with smartphone, internet, and text messages. It's the day of the feast, 9/11, tricked us, made us think our enemies was from the Middle East. When in fact, if I'm all over, I'm calling for every black man to be a soldier. I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, or Jehovah. Cause they gotta witness this curse being uplifted. And this land built on lies, gotta screaming about our lives and how they matter. Cycles must be broken, traditions must be shattered. In this so-called country of the brave. But it's funny, how's the whole world controlled by a man that originates from a cave? Kinda shocked and amazed at stuff that happens every day. I know about 50 George Floyds from around my way. And we're marching for the police to go to jail, for real? We should be protesting for economical change. Stop worshiping diabolical things like whips, chips, sex and a chick. Unity is power. We're together. That's rich. It's funny. I never seen a slave ship.
Can we own this land? Son, can you ever own this land? Feet the same color as sand. Hair like wool. We make the rules. We allowed ourselves to be captured. But when we awaken, that would be the rapture. And if you don't believe me, check the credentials. Black lives don't matter. They're essential. And that's that piece, y'all. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kamal, very much. Thank you so much for bringing your word and your artistry and your insight into all of this to us. We really appreciate it. And you know, if you're not awake and thinking at this point, no amount of coffee is going to wake you up after that. I mean, if that doesn't get you going, it's just not going to happen for you today. But again, thank you.
Well, thank y'all and thank this young man again.
My message today is entitled, For Far Too Long, Black Lives Matter and White Backlash. So as I said, it is so very good to be back together in person here outside on the grounds of the building that holds Presbyterian Church of the Covenant. It's so just amazingly good. Now, particularly based on previous conversations I've had with a lot of people, many folks might think this would be the perfect time for a message on new life as we gather together during the spring for our first time ever together in over a year. And while it is true that we will be talking about the need for new life, We will be talking about that. We'll be talking about the loss of life and what we need to lose in order to usher in a new era of new life, a new life for all people. So I want to begin by telling you a piece of history about the county in which we reside. Back in 1877, a young black boy, no older than 17 or 18, was accused of the attempted rape of a young white girl, or as the papers reported it, she was accosted by a Negro with evil purposes. Now note that I said accused, not convicted. Accused. His name was Eugene Hairston. Within 30 minutes of his being taken into custody, a mob formed and their minds were made up. They were set. Their minds were set on lynching him. And as the newspapers put it, the mob included, quote, the best citizens in the Piedmont, Carolina. Let me just pause here and say that these citizens that they are talking about are undoubtedly fairly rich, fairly powerful white folk. And I'd also like to call your attention to this. The paper is calling a mob who wants nothing more than to take the law into their own hands by killing another citizen, another human being who was simply accused, not convicted. The paper's calling them the best citizens. Best citizens. Well, these best citizens formed the jail where Hairston was being held, took him from the jail. And from every indication, they took him with little to no resistance. And they lynched him right here in Guilford County. Now, if you go to the Legacy Museum and National Memorial for Peace and Justice in Montgomery, Alabama, you can visit a monument to all of those who were lynched in the U.S. There's a long, dark metal column hanging from the ceiling for each county where someone was lynched in the United States. There are hundreds of columns. Hundreds of columns. On each one of those columns resides the name of those who have been lynched in that county. And when you get to the Guilford County column, there is one solitary name etched there. Eugene Harrison. Now, I only know about this history because I was approached by members of the Guilford County Remembrance Project, and they're working on getting soil from the place where the mob of best citizens hung Harrison. And they contacted me because their research says that Harrison was hung from a tree on the property where a Presbyterian Church of the Covenant now stands. Jump forward to 1979. Right here in Guilford County, members of the Communist Workers Party, the CWP. The CWP was a group working towards unionization and self-determination for African Americans. The CWP organized a march for that day in support of black workers' rights. And members of the KKK, a group that, unsurprisingly, had pretty much major issues with the CWP. They had loaded their trunks of their cars with guns and headed out to the march. Now, one of the interesting things about all of this is that the Greensboro police had an informant in the KKK. And they knew that armed KKK members were heading into town to end the CWP march. And as you might imagine, the KKK were met with about as much resistance as the mob of best people probably were 100 years before, which is to say little to no resistance. Five protesters were killed. 10 were injured. Now, many of you here already know how this is connected to our church. Reverend Z. Holler, who has been remembered as a Jesus follower and a white Southern radical, and was the minister at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant for many years. Well, he helped form the Greensboro Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Now, I'm going to quote the wiki page on this just to let us all think through what that group was about. The driving force behind the creation of the commission was to objectively review precisely what transpired that day for years. Rumored circulated, suggesting that the Greensboro Police Department was directly involved and that the city, in order to protect its police department and itself, immediately undertook steps following the massacre to initiate a cover-up. Sadly, it took until 8 months ago for the Greensboro City Council to formally apologize for the massacre. For just a moment, let me remind you of today's scripture. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the corrupt? Defend the lowly and the orphaned. Render justice to the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the poor and save them from the hand of violence. On the day of the Greensboro massacre, a 23-year-old black woman was pregnant with her son. And just as any mother would be, in seeing the violence extracted on black folk who were actually working towards justice and equality for other black folk, she worried. She worried about the world her child might grow up in, even as she hoped for a better world for all people. As Reverend Z. Holler once put it, we should all be able to agree that a society where all people are valued and treated with respect is a worthy goal. That woman's name is Mary Smith. Sadly, 38 years later, her son became a victim of the same plague that killed Harrison and the five at the Greensboro Massacre. And I've yet to name it out loud in this message, but I imagine that each of you have felt it lurking within each of these historical stories. White supremacy. On September 8, 2018, after a downtown music festival, Mary Smith's son, Marcus Dion Smith, approached a police officer and asked to be taken to the hospital. He was not well. He was in distress. And looked for the people that we've all, over our lifetimes, been taught to look to when we need help. He said, "Please, help me, sir." What he received was not help. It was far from it. It's a gut-wrenching story. And my friend and local reporter, Ian McDowell, has done an amazing job of researching, detailing, and recording the event. And I'd like to share just a little bit of his description of what happened. And just so folks know, particularly online, this comes from an article that he wrote for a digital magazine called The Assembly. So if you want more of the story, you could go to their page, The Assembly NC, one word, .com. You read the rest of his article there. So, as the article says, Smith suffered from a diagnosed mental illness that sometimes manifests as anxiety, paranoia, delusions. And like many people with mental illness, he sometimes self-medicated with drugs. Police video shows that Smith's behavior at the time of the incident was erratic, but it wasn't violent. He was pacing in the middle of the street, restless at times and incoherent. And the Greensboro police officers attempted to calm him down, get him into the back of a police car, and then once he did get in there, they closed the door. But Smith, in his panic, started slapping on the windows. Police opened the door, let Smith out, decided that they needed to restrain him. There were now, at that point, eight officers at the scene. And Smith fell to the pavement. The cause of his fall, as this article says, was disputed. And as the officers moved him face down and cuffed him with his hands behind him, Smith shouted, "I am not resisting." End quote. He wasn't under arrest. He was asking for help. But what he received was not help. It was far from it. They cuffed him, used a rip hobble restraint around his ankles, and then fastened his ankles to his hands behind his back. Basically, they hogtied a black man. And I remind you, he wasn't arrested. He was asking for help. McDowell's article describes it this way. Smith moaned, pleading, "Please, please, and I'm not resisting." He moaned, wheezed, groaned, and gasped for air as the officers forced his feet towards the small of his back at an angle that lifted his legs from the asphalt, placing all of Smith's weight on his upper chest, including the officer that was leaning on him to help push his feet further back into his spine. About a minute later, the article says, Smith stopped moving. His restraint secure, the officer stood up before noticing that he was unresponsive. They then rolled him on his side and removed the restraint. Smith was taken to the hospital where he was declared dead. End quote. On Mondays, I like to go join a group of folks outside of City Hall. We've been doing this for quite some time now. And we peacefully protest the city's refusal to hold officers responsible, as well as their refusal to compensate the Smith family. The city refuses to acknowledge any culpability on the part of the local police and the city. I do it. I do it because I believe that it's the right thing to do. I do it because we must not sit silently by as some lives are looked upon as less than others. I do it because even if our current political and law enforcement systems frequently treat black lives as if they don't matter, black lives do matter to me. Let me share once again the words from our scripture today. How long will you defend the unjust and so show partiality to the corrupt? Defend the lowly and the orphan. Render justice to the oppressed and to the destitute. Rescue the weak and the poor and save them from the hand of violence. But you know nothing, and you understand nothing. You walk in darkness, and the foundations of the earth are shaking because of your ignorance. Sarah Thusine is an assistant professor of history at Guilford College and a member of the Guilford County Remembrance Project. And at a presentation very early last year about the project's work on the lynchings, she had this to say: these lynchings were not just random acts of violence. I mean, sometimes they were, but this was also about power. This was about a white backlash to the rising black political and economic power. She was talking about 1877. It could have just as easily have been about 1979, and it could have been about the black, where we had the Greensboro massacre. It could just as easily be about the 2018 incident with Marcus Smith, just asking officers for help. It could just as easily be about today. How long? How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the corrupt? As I said on Mondays, I joined that group of folks outside of the city hall peacefully protesting the city's refusal to hold officers responsible, as well as their refusal to compensate the Smith family. The city refuses to acknowledge any culpability on the part of the local police and city, not unlike the city's unwillingness for over 40 years to admit any responsibility in the Greensboro massacre. Not unlike the papers in 1877 tried to excuse the lynching of a black kid who had yet been to be convicted by saying a bunch of our best citizens thought it was the right thing to do. How long? How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the corrupt? We have allowed, we all have allowed powerful people and systems to defend their unjust, their actions that are unjust for far too long. We have allowed them to show partiality to the corrupt for far too long. We must stop being satisfied with slowly moving in the right direction because it's allowed our best citizens to treat people of color as if their lives somehow matter less than everybody else's. We've allowed that for far too long. Now, clearly, this congregation's timeline overlaps at points with the timeline of this city's mistreatment, devaluing, and taking of black lives. We tend to find ourselves as part of the side that asks the question, how long will you defend the unjust and the corrupt? I believe that it is time to stop asking that question of how long, O Lord, and start making the statement that this has gone on for far too long. I believe that we must pray with our public actions far more than with the bowing of our heads. I believe, to borrow from Sarah Thusen, I believe that the killings of black people by our best citizens are not just random acts of violence, but rather they are about power, white power. And I believe it is a white backlash from white supremacists in response to the rising black political and economical power. I believe it is not enough to say black lives matter. Rather, we must doggedly pursue changing the system that continues to ensure that black lives can't matter as much as white lives. It's not just the spiritually correct thing to do, but it's the human, the moral, the right thing to do. Because this all has gone on for far too long. Amen. Bruce, we'd love it if you'd come up and give us another song, sir.
Are we good? This is a love song for a man who's far away from home and thinking about his daughter, whose name is Rosalita. Is that good on the guitar? Rosalita, when that cold wind blows, so when I always dream of you, Rosalita, when a train comes through, and I'll be on my way home to you, and I'll be tying on my highway shoes. I'll be flying on home to you, so don't be blue, Rosalita. Do you remember me, girl? Walking along Tobacco Road, going fishing in that Carolina moon. Lord, Mama, she cook us up a meal, and I'll be tying on my highway shoes. And I'll be flying on home to you. Don't be blue. Rosalita, my little baby girl, tell Mama Daddy's coming home. Rosalita, my little baby girl, I ain't never more gonna roam. I'll be tying on my highway shoes. I'll be flying on home to you. So don't be blue, Rosalita, when that cold wind blows. When I always dream of you.
Thank you, Bruce.
so much.
Thank you all. Thank you so much.
Let's take a moment and have a more internal experience right now. If you'd like, it can just be pure meditation. If you prefer, as I speak these words, feel free to grab a thought or a word that means something to you and meditate on that for a bit. Or as I pray, you can follow with me. However that works best for you. For me, when I do it, I'm usually thinking of the words and repeating them in my head. So whatever is best for you is lovely. So let's bow our heads. Good and gracious God, it is easy to get so caught up in the business and troubles of our own lives that we forget we are called to be transformers for justice in this world. There's so much pain, so much loneliness, so much sickness, so much loss, so much injustice in this world that it can sometimes just seem like it's just the way things are. Let us never forget that creation contains the possibility of heaven on earth, a fellowship of humanity. Let us never forget that the teachings of Jesus, as well as the teachings of so many other great spiritual leaders, can lead us to a world where suffering is greatly reduced. Until that time, teach us not only to confront injustice, but to comfort those who suffer and to be open to receiving comfort when we are the ones suffering. Amen. I do want to thank each of you for being here together today. It's been a wonderful experience. Next week, as we do this, just keep in mind, watch the weather. We'll send out on Saturday if there's going to be any changes. If the weather is going to be extreme in some way, we'll just go back to the online broadcast for now. But as long as the weather's good, we'll be meeting outdoors at least for the month and possibly much longer. We'll just see how it all goes. But thank you for being here. I am now going to try to remember my blessing that I haven't given in over a year. And did not think about until just a second ago when Bruce was playing. So let's see if I can get this. May God bless and keep you. May you find peace in the love of Jesus the Christ. May the Spirit move you as the Spirit will. Nailed it. Thank you all for being here.